We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Let's take a shot.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right. Oh, R.I.P.
Cheers, you holy bitches.
This is...
Should we say
Oh god.
Should we say a prayer before or after?
Yeah, should we pray over our
let's
vodka?
Pray over our shot.
Okay.
Madison, kick us off.
Yeah, since you're the guest, you have to lead the prayer.
Okay. Dear Holy Father, please watch over us as we take these shots and chat through this. I don't know what we're talking about, but you know, cheers.
Cheers. That was a beautiful prayer.
Cheers, Sky Daddy.
Cheers. Sky Mommy.
Welcome to the Holy Hour.
I'm Amelia Sampson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
And we have a guest today.
First guest.
Hey, you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, guys. I'm Madison.
Hi, guys.
You could also call me, the Pizza Queen.
Yes. That is your official title.
We love
official
it.
Official title.
Yeah.
The Pizza Queen.
This is our first guest we've ever had. This is very exciting. Yeah, so we know Madison from work, which is how me and Liz know each other. So this is just a cute little full circle moment.
We're all a bunch of work wives.
Yeah, we are. Yes.
You've heard of sister wives, but have you heard of work sister wives?
We hype each other up. We
yeah.
We get peer pressured into taking shots by Madison.
We love a good happy hour about 3 p.m. on Thursdays back when we were in the office.
Yeah.
If you guys remember those, like back when we were in the office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are foreign words.
Yeah. When we get back to the office, I'm going to be regularly visiting your desk for Tito's shots.
Yeah, yeah, she has a handle of Tito's in her drawer.
And I just like feel really bad right now because I feel like it misses me. Like I feel like it thinks
you abandoned
it. And yeah. It's just like... I just want it to know I still care.
Right, no, for sure. It knows, in its heart, it knows. Okay. I have, like, 2 boxes of Trulies just sitting at my desk that I've been thinking about for an entire year.
I have a moldy cup. it's a tumbler.
That's so
we are not the same.
I know, we're not the same.
I have a moldy cup.
I know. I miss the days where I would scour the 3 floors for the White Claws that I liked.
Into it. Yeah.
Like, oh, there's mango. We gotta go hoard these.
I'm, like, actually frustrated because we used to have all these beverages in the fridge. Like, not even, like, non-alcoholic ones. And now I have to buy those for myself. And I'm just like, are you gonna reimburse me for this?
Yeah.
I want my body bubbles.
Stipend?
Yeah. Dude, I miss the endless cold brew.
Mm.
People are gonna be like, where the fuck did you work? We don't have a ball pit. That's my only complaint.
Only in
God, can you imagine? That was really the only thing we were lacking. We had a foosball table,
imagine.
A pool table, ping pong table.
I would not be surprised if we got... If
a
we
bar
had
a, drawer, like
ooh,
full of bars.
Yeah.
Snacks, all around.
The social team had all the fun stuff.
Mm.
That's because we have all the fun people.
Yeah, well, it got quieter from, like, every time you went up a floor, it got more quiet. Every time I came down to 3, I'm like, it's a fucking party down here.
You get up to 5, and you'd be like, is anyone up here? Am I allowed to talk?
Yeah. Oh, my God, I know. I would always
is
be
this
whispering
illegal?
Up there.
You'd come down to, like, 3, and I'd be bouncing on that, like, giant, like, ball. That
yes.
No, like, what is that? Like,
exercise
ball. Yeah, I'd just be, like, bouncing on it, like, trying to balance, and you would be, like, okay, with your laptop, like, walking by, like, hi, bye. Okay, I get that you're, like super busy,
but
I want to see if you can balance on this ball, Amelia, on your knees.
I kind of miss it. Honestly, I was thinking today how nice it's been not having to commute because I live so fucking far from the office, but I miss seeing people.
Yeah, you got to figure that commute out.
Fucking suck. Yeah, I do.
You just need to move closer to us.
I do. Maybe I'll just like move you into your move, building.
Move like right
I
in
could
between.
See that happening.
You would get so sick of me.
Live right next door? No. Oh my God.
It'd be like a knock on your door so like every fun. Hour. Hey, Liz, I got this text. Or, hi, Liz. Do you
Can
have
I
any sugar?
The cats?
Just wanted to hang out with your cat.
It's Grandpa okay here in Purr.
I miss Gatsby. Can I come over? We just like all hang out, watch a movie. Oh my God, no, Liz, you would truly hate that.
I don't know.
I would bug you all the time. Maybe I'll think about it.
I have good boundaries. I have good boundaries. Yeah. In my opinion.
You know what? I do too. Okay, then I'll move into your building.
It's like
it's
like,
happening.
There's probably some openings.
That whole neighborhood is phenomenal. I love that area.
It's a cute little.
It is, and
area.
There's always parking. That's my main concern with Seattle.
I know, you're very concerned about parking, I feel like, at all times.
Because I spend so much of my life trying to find parking in Seattle. Like,
I mean, I
30%
think you should always Uber, though. Like, let's just Uber.
Yeah, you see, but I'm so cheap, you know?
Amelia,
so I try to find, like...
I can just... Whenever you're, like, texting me or on your way, I can sense through the phone that you are fully a tornado.
Oh, my God. You should
just
see
like
my
chaos,
house right now.
And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be okay. You're going to get here. We're going
to
record.
Because
it's
every time I go, look, I'm always, like, 15, 20 minutes late to Liz's place because there's always something that goes
She's
wrong
one of those.
On my way out. Like, sometimes my garage door won't close. Or, like, sometimes I can't find my keys. Today, my keys ran out of batteries because I have a push to start. It's always something stacked against me. I think I was cursed as a child to never
okay,
be
like,
on time.
The key thing, you got to figure that out. Put your keys in the same place every time.
Well, I know.
That's,
I know.
It's, like, an easy fix.
But it's always, sometimes I'll just leave my keys in the car because it's a push to start. I don't have to take the key out. So I just leave the keys in there. And then I'll look for the keys
Do
for like an hour.
The car?
It's in my garage. I have a garage.
Mm. Oh,
like a one car garage.
Rich.
Oh yeah.
Just have like no car like me and just like kind of wing it.
Just like mooch rides.
Yeah, everyone's like sad for you. Well, before when we could go places, we had the Orca cards, and I would just. I would get on the bus.
Wait, we don't have that anymore.
No.
Did y'all realize that?
Yeah.
That's so
I tried to get on the
up.
Light rail.
But
at
here's
one
the
point.
Thing.
But I was a Microsoft vendor,
hell?
So I still have an Orca pass.
Okay, so you guys know I don't do public transportation. So, like, I threw away my Orca card the other day, and it felt so liberating. Like, I am donezo with public trans. I am retiring. Yeah, you guys have no idea what we're talking about, but I am retiring from public transportation because I cannot be bothered.
I've heard that when you get old, it's like... you become like how you were when you were a child.
What?
Like a little kid. Yeah.
That tracks because my niece was crying.
So I'm going to be a bossy little.
Yes. Love to
little
see
lady.
It.
Little.
Amelia's going to be probably like the sweetest little like smiley baby.
Just cute.
Just like so
grandma.
Sweet. Just like so insincere.
Oh my God. I can't imagine being old. That's a scary thought.
I think about it all the time.
I can't or I'll lose
old.
My mind.
And that's why I am so vain now, because I know it's not going to last.
I have a mental block when I think about getting old, which makes me feel like I'm going to die young.
This is so
like,
weird.
Well, I was going to say 27 Club, but you're 28.
No, don't
no
do
I'm not 28 yet. Oh. I turned 28 in June.
Stop it. You guys erase that from your memories. We're deleting that.
No, I
never
think
happened.
About it all the time. Like, when I turn 28, it has to be a big blowout. Sometimes I'll end up with a white lighter. Apparently in the 27
Wait,
Club...
Wait, what's a white lighter?
Like a lighter, like a Bic lighter.
Oh.
Apparently, like, there's, like, a rumor that all of these people in the 27 Club died with a white lighter in their pocket. So they say not to own a white lighter when you're 21, or you're 27, and I, every time I'm with anybody that's smoking, they fucking leave their white lighter behind. Oh. And
you know
I,
what's so
I'm
interesting?
Gonna,
27 is right before your Saturn return happens.
What?
Yeah. So, like, Saturn return happens between, like, age 28 and 30.
What does that
mean? I have to make
it. It's, like, you know how so many people have, like, big life changes, like, you know, when they turn 30?
Yeah.
Like, their career changes. Or if you look at the history of, like, musicians, like, their best album comes out when they're, like, between
so
20
you peak
and 30.
You peak. Yeah.
Yeah. Or no, because your Saturn returns every 28 years,
oh.
like 28 to 30 years.
Okay.
I'm currently in my Saturn return.
How you feeling?
I feel fucking great.
You feel great from the outside, too.
Mm-hmm.
From when I met Liz, it's a complete glow up. Not that you were bad before, but like the brows have made them. they are so, she has soap brows right now, y'all,
yeah.
and they are
my,
so chic.
Guys, No one knows it. I mean, you can look at my Instagram, but my brows used to be just, like, painted on my face. Painted. In, like, not a cute way.
Like, if she would sweat, it would be a very bad situation.
Yeah, it
like
would not in, be good.
When you were at, when you worked where we work?
Yeah, when I first started.
I don't remember that.
And I had short blonde hair.
Yeah, you did. Your hair was very short.
And my eyebrows were just so aggressive. And, like, now I laminate them myself.
Yes, it's
they look so good.
Such a vibe. I'm
brush them up.
Where'd you get your lamination stuff from? Amazon?
Yeah. It's the same as a lash lift. So if you bought a DIY like lash lift kit, you could do that on your brows. I don't do it on my lashes because I don't have that.
See, I love it, but I don't think I have enough going on there.
So I and just need to do something on my brows.
Well, because you push them upward and then you laminate them. Mm. And then I have the Glossier Boy Brow and the Brow Flick. So I'll just brush them up and then I'll put the like boy brow on to kind of hold them in place. And then I fill in like just those little corner areas with the brow flick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a vibe. Like,
it looks really good.
The brows are just...
They're coming out to play.
They've come a long way.
Yeah.
They've had a long life. You
they
know?
Have.
They've been skinny.
They've seen some
they've
shit.
They've seen a lot. Yeah.
They really have.
Yeah.
Especially in the last few years.
Uh-huh.
I really feel like... Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. I feel like I've just kind of grown into myself.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I've always been this person.
Yes.
But when you're influenced by a bunch of other things that you're like, I like how that girl looks and I like their style and I want to copy it, but it doesn't work on you, you know?
Yeah.
Like I used to always copy one of our coworkers because I was like, oh, I like her outfit. And I also would like try and copy Madison because I was like, oh, her outfits are good too.
Mm-hmm.
They just weren't for me. They weren't my vibe.
When you're trying to figure out who you are, it's so easy to do mm-hmm. that. I did that all through college. Like, and it was really surrounded around, like, what I thought my ex wanted. So I would see girls on campus, and I'd be like, that's probably someone that he would like. And that's why I got my nose pierced. And, and I would dress a certain way. I would, like, I was looking at my, like, memories on Facebook, and, like, some of the statuses that I set in, like, 2013 were very specifically worded how, like, these girls would talk. So fucked. But, like, when you're trying to figure out who you are, it's so easy just to kind of, like, acclimate, you know, to what's happening around you.
And so I've thought of it, like, recently of, like, just because I like how maybe, like, a celebrity or something is styled,
mm-hmm.
I can appreciate it and not want to also look that way.
Yes.
That makes you gotta sense. Make it your
you
own.
You can be pretty in your own way.
Yeah,
totally.
And it took me... being alone by myself all the fucking time in a pandemic to be like, this is what I like and this is what I want to wear.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm figuring it out.
I love that you would always do your makeup in the beginning too and take like the cutest little selfies. Like,
mm-hmm. I was having a little like, I had an internet bay and like,
I forgot about it.
That was the only time you could see me was online. So I was like, putting on eyelash extensions and like doing all this
stuff. Did the individual eyelash extensions. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
It was a fun little beauty experiment phase. And I just like was looking cute working from home all the time. And I remember Madison and our other coworkers like, so like, what is Liz doing? Like, why is she always dressed up working from home? I'd be on the meetings and like full glam.
Full glam.
Be like, well, I'm going to post a selfie later for my...
Yeah, that was the thing. She's like, I have to take a selfie later. That was, like, her thing. And I was like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And then, like, now I cannot be bothered. Like,
I was just about to say, I was thinking about this the other day.
How, yes!
Like, you were... And it's not that you were being inauthentic, but you were, like, putting it on when you were, like, in a relationship with Twitter Bay. Like, a relationship, you know what
I mean. Oh, I was thinking about my, like, online presence all the time.
Yes, and now in the relationship that you're in now
I'm like,
you're
sorry,
so...
I forgot to message you back.
Honestly, yourself. Right.
I haven't looked at my phone in 3 days.
And that's how... I think that's why I'm... I mean, besides... I'm a fan of his. Like, I think that's why I'm such a fan of your relationship, because, like, you were just so yourself in the relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, like... I think, you know, in some ways, I think Twitter Bay was good because, like, you know, you learned a lot about, like...
It opened the door for me being... Because I was very closed off to, like, having any feelings towards anyone.
Yeah, it was a good stepping stone.
The first person I had, like, kind of a crush on.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Yeah.
So then having, like... it made me open to, like, being okay with feeling like that.
Mm-hmm. And then that led to Sink Bay.
Oh, yeah, the guy who helped you with your sink.
I actually got reimbursed.
Oh, that's...
Yeah. Okay. They contacted me. They were like, hey, We've been trying to give you your money back, but we don't know where to send it. So.
You have no idea what the fuck this is in your sink.
Or just I got at least $300 back.
Nice.
I think that building's being demolished.
Oh, good thing you got out.
I know.
Got out with your head.
It got weird over there.
Have you ever experienced anything difficult and not felt like you had an outlet? I'm Haley Crow, the host of Facilitating Voices, an outlet podcast, where we discuss complex topics surrounding mental health, social justice issues, and interview people with real and raw experiences and exposures to trauma. Tune in to learn, grow, and realize you're not alone. New episodes released weekly on the Chatter Network.
But these thoughts lead me to our main course, our main topic.
Our main course.
We're going to be talking about attachment theory and attachment styles because when I was kind of going through my breakup when I first moved to Seattle, Madison was going through a breakup too. And we both had started seeing therapists and I was like,
If you're thinking about it, just do it. Pull the trigger.
Just go to therapy.
Just do it. Please do it.
Break up with your boyfriend.
I beg you. Just do it.
She lived down the street from me. So I was like, went to her place to have some wine and hang out. And she started telling me about the book Attached. And she was the first person who told me anything about attachment theory. And it's one of those things that's like, once you're introduced to the idea, you see it everywhere. You hear about it everywhere. And I feel like I've been hearing it in a lot of conversations lately. And I thought like, it would just be really fun to have a friend talk to us and talk to you guys about attachment theory the same way like you talked about it to me the first time.
Yeah. Oh, I was meeting with my therapist yesterday and I was like, I'm pretty excited. I'm going to be on my friend's podcast. Oh, that's my ice machine.
Oh. I was like, are they drilling at this hour?
We don't have a cat in this episode. We have an ice machine.
We have an ice machine. We've been going through the ice.
It's the grandpa stand-in.
It's the ice machine. I was like, really? Someone's doing construction right now.
Yeah. Okay, is it done?
There's a plane flying. You can keep going.
Okay, now we can go.
Plane's fine.
So I went to my therapist yesterday, and I was like, you know, big news. I'm going to be on my friend's podcast called The Holy Hour. And she kind of looked at me, and I was like, no, like, ho, H-O-E. And she was like, oh, that makes more sense. And I was like,
what do you mean?
Have I not mentioned to you I'm super religious?
So that was just funny. And then I told her we were going to be talking about the Attached book. So we did like a little debrief because it's been a minute since I've read it. But
your therapist is the one who told you to read the book, right?
Yeah. So I went there after I had a series of couple breakups and I wanted to take time off dating because I had read a book, not this one. I had read a book that had said, you know, don't focus on finding the right person, focus on becoming the right person.
Mm.
So what I had done is made a list of all the traits that I wanted in a man, and it was everything from like someone who's grateful to someone who like likes dogs, you know, just you know, a full list. And then I made a second list that was basically like, okay, this is what I want in a man. I can't expect myself not to have these qualities. I can't expect a man to have these qualities if I don't have them as well, right? Like I need to become the person that the person I'm looking for is looking for. So that kind of made me think, well, maybe I should go to therapy. Like I've had a couple of relationships and they haven't been great, right? Like I can't get past this like 6 months mark or whatever it is. So I went to therapy, chatted with her a little bit, and she had asked, like, have you heard about attachment styles? I was like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, no, tell me more. Like,
okay. Me in therapy for the first year.
Right. No.
Bitch, what are you saying to me right now?
Speak English. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that was me. And so basically I got this book and it's called Attached. And you're basically born kind of with your attachment style. There's three. There's secure, anxious, avoidant. And then the fourth one, which is like more of a secondary one, which is anxious, avoidant. So it basically talks about how you respond in all your relationships, whether they're intimate or whether they're, you know, friendships or ones with family. So secure, you're comfortable with love. You're comfortable expressing your emotions. You're comfortable with vulnerability. Anxious, you feel like people can't really meet your needs, but you really crave that intimacy and that security and that just
you need constant reassurance.
Yeah. Avoidant, like you feel uncomfortable, like you feel like being with someone makes you compromise your independence, and so you kind of stray away from that vulnerability aspect. And then anxious avoidant. Like, it's kind of a mix. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on there, but, like, you do.
Anxious avoidant, isn't it, like, very rare?
It is. It's the rarest type, right? And so you kind of fluctuate between the two, which, like, really confuses me. So about 50% of the population, nation, I don't know, world, whatever you want to call it, is secure. 25 is avoidant, 25 is anxious avoidant, and there's like a random like 1% that's anxious avoidant. So
So I studied psychology for, I don't think I've ever talked about this on the podcast. I mean, everybody that doesn't know what to major in majors in psychology, but we learned about the attachment styles. And so knowing that there was a book that, and when I looked up the book, I was like, oh, this is like a, people are really, this is a huge thing.
What's it called? Class?
There's a whole theory.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's a book about, so the interesting. And it feels very buzzy, but at the same time, it's not. Like, this is something that I feel like everybody can relate to. It's like a love language kind of thing. It's like, it helps you understand how people communicate.
Exactly. Like, you can decide what I need in a relationship. You can understand what your partner needs and give that to them.
Yes. Yeah. It tells you so much. So I was reading in the recap of the book, your dominant attachment style tends to influence how you view intimacy and togetherness, how you deal with conflict, your attitudes towards sex, which I thought was interesting, ability to communicate your wishes and needs, makes sense, and what kind of expectations you have toward your partner in the relationship also makes sense. I thought that the sex part was interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense because it's part of a relationship, but it would be interesting to know, like, how the attachment styles play into sex. Does the book, like, dig into that?
Yeah, so kind of when you're avoidant, you associate sex with intimacy. Mm-hmm. So when you're in kind of your avoidant stage, or like when you feel like your independence is being infringed on and you feel like almost claustrophobic, like you try to like shy away from sex. Or if you do have sex, you treat it very much so like almost like a transaction. Like, there's no cuddling afterwards. It's like, time to go. I'm going to roll over and look at my phone. Mm-hmm. What'd you say?
Aftercare.
Aftercare. There's no aftercare involved. They don't give a fuck about aftercare. And then I think, again, with secure, you can just say they're run of the road. They understand it. And anxious people, they need that cuddling after, right? Like, they need that like reassurance and that like, you know, that moment, right?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. It's just like, for somebody that, because you're brought up with those ideas. So I'm always interested in how people's like,
your attachment style is like, is developed in your earliest dependent relationship. So like your earliest relationship with your caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love if we could each talk about our own attachment styles.
Yes.
Pull
up my results.
Yeah. Amelia and I took a quiz on our and I was surprised by my results. And when I shared them with Madison, she was surprised too.
A little bit too.
Let me see if I could. Hold on.
See, the test that I took has different titles for things.
Yeah, they are. So there's like anxious, preoccupied. Yeah. Like when you take the quiz, like the book talks about it at a high level, but then when you take the quiz, it breaks it down by relationship. So for instance, like with my mom, I'm very secure, right? Like very secure, can go to her about anything, those type of things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in friendships, again, secure, but in romantic relationships, I was, you know, anxious, preoccupied. So kind of what that meant is that when I was in a relationship, I was very consumed by it. I overthought things, right? Like if he couldn't hang out one night and canceled at the last minute, I would think I did something wrong, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
I was consumed by it, right?
Yeah.
So depending on the relationship, it has a different influence on you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then
there
are also instances where like I was avoidant. For instance, I always like walk in front of someone, and that's like a sign of someone being avoidant, but like I also think I'm just always cold and need a beverage, so like
there's also that.
I'm cold, I need a drink, get out of my fucking
get out of
way.
My way.
Oh my god.
So I'll start.
Yeah.
The attachment style quiz we took, what's it called, personaldevelopmentschool.com. My results are, I'm predominantly secure, so I'm 43% secure, 21%.
Love to see it.
We love to
see it.
And most of us are going to be predominantly secure and then have, like, these little sub categories. So I'm 21% dismissive avoidant, 21% fearful avoidant, and 14% anxious preoccupied.
We have the same exact results.
Shut up.
That's literally my
result.
Wait,
you guys were meant to be.
Wait, that's bizarre.
That's hilarious.
Wait, there's no way that that's right. Maybe I screenshotted yours and also by accident.
Wait, you're avoidant, Amelia? I would have guessed you were...
more anxious.
Yeah.
I thought I was more anxious.
Maybe this was your results that I screenshotted.
There's no way you have the same percentages. That's unless it's just like a you guys took like a hoax. Because I took a quiz, but it was like two
took
years
a hoax
ago.
Quiz.
A hoax quiz. They wanted your email.
No,
wanted
I feel like my secure was like in the 50s. Hold on. So yeah, I must have just because I'm going through our pictures we've sent to each other. So I must have just screenshotted yours.
Yes. Let's lock this up.
Okay, lock it up. Okay. Do you feel like that represents you well?
I was very surprised to see avoidant on my, like, so high up on my percentages.
I was too a little bit when you told me.
But then when I read the descriptions of them, they made a lot more sense. I thought maybe, if anything, like, my secondary attachment style would be some kind of anxious attachment because I'm an anxious person. And I remember you bringing up to me, Madison, you were like, do you feel like you will stay in a relationship and try and make it work no matter what? And I was like, I do that. And so I thought maybe I had a secondary anxious attachment. But then when I took the quiz and like these were my results, I was like, what? And then I started reading about it and it made a lot more sense. Yeah. So dismissive, avoidant, attached can appear very well put together and have an inflated sense of self. Had to learn to rely on themselves for their own soothing and comfort, has difficulty being vulnerable and intimate, which, like, when I was reading this stuff, I was like, inside, this makes a lot of sense. Like, I don't believe that anyone else can, like, meet my needs besides myself. So I have, like, this wall up of only I can meet my own needs. And difficulty being vulnerable, I know some people might think that's hard to believe because I have this podcast where I talk so openly about like my sex life and stuff, but I've noticed that I talk about what happened and less about how it made me feel. And when I get called out for that, I freak out. I'm like, how did you notice I don't talk about how it makes me feel?
That was similar for me. Like I would talk about what I'm gonna do next, right? Like, this is what I'm gonna do next. This is how we're gonna make it all better, not how it made me feel. I'd skip over the how it made me feel stage and just go to, this is how we're gonna make it all better, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting. I wish that I read my little description more. I found mine. It's different from yours.
Okay, thank God.
Oh my God, I was reading them, and I was like, I don't think that this is right.
Spooky.
Okay, so I got 54% secure.
Okay.
Which is...
That tracks.
Yeah. 31% anxious preoccupied.
Okay, that makes sense.
Tracks. And then for both fearful avoidant and dismissive avoidant, I got 8%.
Okay.
So I'm mostly secure, which makes sense. And it also makes sense that anxious is my next one because my last relationship was traumatizing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think to your point on your last relationship, like I don't know him, but... pandemic and all, but
right.
He was probably avoidant. And there's what they talk about in this book is that there's an anxious avoidant trap, right? So like anxious people or anxious attachment styles and avoidant attachment styles, they're attracted to each other for a couple of reasons, right? They are recycled more into the dating universe more because they're just constantly looking for someone, right? Secure people get snatched up like that. Like, you find a secure person, you hold on, and you just, like, go for it, right? And so I think that's one of the main things. And then when you're with an anxious and an avoidant, they have the it feels almost like a spark, but it's not that, right? Like, it's honestly, like...
It's both of your attachment issues being triggered.
Right, it's triggered. So you feel triggered, and you mistake that as a spark. But, like, when an anxious person is... with an avoidant person, like the avoidant person is pulling away and the anxious person keeps wanting more. So like no one is going to be able to give each other what they want.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So people think that's a spark and they think it's chemistry when really you need to look for
it's just, yeah. Both of you, like an anxious attached person wants their needs to be met.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're expressing like, this is how I need my needs met. And then an avoidant person, freaks out when an anxious attached person is expressing their needs. I need more from you.
Yeah.
And When I was like, when I got my results and I started like Googling like avoidant attachment stuff, because I was like, oh, I want to learn more about this, because the biggest thing that I noticed that stood out to me, so fearful avoidant attached, one of the things it says is like, tends to crave emotional intimacy but often feels mistrustful of others. And then can feel anxiety or helplessness when they begin to fall in love or depend on someone, because you have spent so much time depending on yourself. So when you're like, oh, I need this intimacy from another person, it is scary.
Yeah.
But when I was Googling like avoidance stuff, one of like the most commonly searched questions is like, do avoidant people fall in love? And I was like, I love so fucking hard. Like, yeah. It overwhelms me and it scares me.
Yeah.
And that's why I can be quick to like, if someone shows me way too much attention at the beginning, it freaks me out and I will run away. And it's also a control thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't have control over this circumstance and you're going to show up at my job and like ask me on a date.
So, I mean, that's a boundary crossed.
It's not a good, it happened when I was working in retail.
Oh, okay.
This guy showed up in the middle of my shift and was going to ask me out in front of all my employees. And, my assistant manager walked in the back and was like,
maybe don't do that.
Is this guy supposed to meet you for lunch? And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, well, he's here to talk to you. And then I started crying because I was like, what? I'm not prepared for this.
I do miss like a sporadic Liz cry, you know, like,
oh my God, Madison sits like in the office. She sits right next to me and like,
would you cry a lot in the office?
Sometimes it just happens. It's
we don't know. It just kind of hits her sometimes.
Wow.
Randomly, my eyes would just well up. Yeah. Or sometimes if I was hyper-focused on something and I was really quiet, Madison would be like, are you okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be like, what? I'm just focused.
But there were, you are very perceptive. Yeah. Like, you would always know when somebody was off.
So that's a trait of someone who has an anxious attachment style.
Oh,
so they did this study, like, where they would flash, like, pictures of, or, like, flash pictures or videos of people at your face, and the anxious attachment style was able to sense the emotion before the secure and the avoidant people, right? So they were just so in tune to like kind of like what was happening there, and then they also internalize it, right? They think like, oh, Liz is crying, I must have said something to her, like, when, you know.
Yeah.
And
in reality, I got a text from my mom that had some bad news.
Yeah.
And that's then I'm an anxiety like, I don't need anything from anyone. Keep it to yourself. And then it just takes one person to be like, are you okay? And I'm like,
no, I'm not.
Look away.
And sometimes it would even be over like Skype or Teams too, because like you don't want to make a scene, right? Because our office is pretty like open, you know?
Mm-hmm. But
like, yeah.
I remember right when my ex and I broke up.
This is funny.
Oh, God. That was at the beginning of me working there.
And like one of the first like real interactions I had with Liz too.
Yeah. You were like walking by my desk and I just started crying. Like,
oh my God.
I was already, I think I might have already been crying to like the two girls I sat
Dante,
next to.
And Dante, the dog.
Yeah, because we, me and the other right two there. Girls in my corner, like when my ex and I broke up, like I opened up to them and then they were like, I just got out of a 9-year relationship. I just got out of a 6-year relationship. Like I turned down a proposal and I was like, damn, these women are badass. Yeah. And they were there for me like no one, like I cannot.
That's amazing.
Credit them as much. Like they're the reason that I fit in so well at work and was able to start making friends and like, you know, start hanging out with people, because they were like looking out for me and they went through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
But Madison walked by my desk and I was just like crying. And then my boss at the time walked by too, but I just had to tell people, I was just like, pretend I'm just like not crying.
And I asked if you wanted a hug and you were like, no. I was like,
it'll make it worse.
I was like, I'm not a good hugger, but like I've been told that, but like I just like thought it might be nice to offer it.
I'm sure I definitely wanted a hug, but I knew it would make me sob, and I was like, okay, I'm in the middle of work.
And then your boss had asked you, like, it was just like completely unrelated. He did not see you crying a few days later or anything like that. He was like, I don't know how it got brought up, but he was like, hey, Liz, did you cry this weekend? And you're like, yeah, actually, I did. And everyone was like,
it became a joke. It became a joke on our team. Yeah. Like, oh, Liz is crying.
There was another thing that was always,
I cried all the time.
Before you and I were really close. Somebody would always say, like, because you would always say, I'm baby.
What was I am baby.
Yeah. Is that about the crying too?
No.
Oh,
no.
I'm just baby.
What is that?
I don't know how to explain I'm baby.
Yeah, you don't. If you know, you know.
James. I don't. I do not know.
All of us are baby.
Yeah.
All of, including me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're baby.
I need to do some research.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw the crying thing often as something that was repeated, baby. And then the baby thing that was repeated.
Yeah, because our corner. One time I tweeted, like, I'm 50% boss, 50% I'm baby.
Your boss baby.
Yeah, 100% boss baby. So I just kept getting things like, they put a sign on my desk that said boss baby.
Oh my God, yes.
Well, I think you had a nameplate that said, like, hashtag girl boss. And so we swapped it out to say we had
boss lady or something like that.
Yeah. We swapped it out to say, like, or baby boss or something like that.
Yeah, that was it. And then I got a custom card with, it was like me drawn as a baby.
Cute.
There's also that. Another card of Liz drinking, personally drawn card of Liz drinking wine under her desk, which I personally love.
Yeah, straight out of the bottle.
Drinking it and crying. That's me. Anyways,
back to the topic.
What a segue, or not even a segue. What do you call it? Like a...
anecdote.
A bit.
No,
bit.
Like when you get off topic?
Like diversion?
No.
Oh.
None of these are right.
But I was going to say, so when you were talking
tangent!
About... Tangent! When you were talking about my ex, I was thinking, because I mean, he's the person that I've had the most experience with in a relationship sense with attachment style, and we were talking about how rare the anxious avoidant is. And I felt like with him, like, I was really experiencing a swing between the two. Like, he was extremely avoidant, and then he cheated on me, and then he had to, like, get back in good graces and swung all the way to anxious, like, very fast. And it
felt... So he's at 1%.
I think that he is. And honestly, like, knowing how his upbringing was... It makes sense. Like, now that I'm learning more about attachment style, it makes sense. But that was so fucking confusing for me. I was like, he went from being entirely impossible to reach to being there every second that I needed him. And that was tough. And, like, I really feel like he's probably really low on the secure. And, I mean, jumping right into another relationship so quickly shows that as well.
Yeah.
But... like, coming out of that and trying to... That's the only, like, real relationship experience that I had until we broke up. And so coming out of that and learning about different people's attachment styles and realizing that, like, there are people that are secure and that I don't need to, like, always be worrying about or always be talking to was hard for me to reconcile because I was, like, kind of, like, overly attentive for people and they were like, you're allowed to chill. And I think that's why anxious shows up in this more than... Because I feel very lucky that I was...
Your romantic relationship
shapes you.
Also, shape those secondary attachment styles.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's really showing up. And I think that that's because I felt like when he was being avoidant, I would always need to bridge that gap. And then when he was being anxious, I also had to kind of bridge that gap because I was like... Oh, I need to always make you know that I'm here.
Yeah, and you have to be a pendulum.
Right.
And that's, like, I feel like that's something, like, a manipulative person would do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And,
like, when I think about my past relationships, like, avoidant attachment really makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
A shoe man. I dated him in high school, and I dated him as an adult, and...
Shoe man.
I know.
Love it.
Such a shoe man.
Little sneaker face.
Just a little.
Sneaker snake. Yeah.
Sneaker snake. Ooh. I like that.
Yeah, that's
waiting
one.
In your boot to bite you.
There's a snake in my boot.
There's a snake in my boot.
In high school, like, when we went away to college, I got to a point where I was like, I want to make friends. I, like, am missing out on the college experience because I'm, like, confined in this relationship where he's trying to micromanage everything I do.
Mm-hmm.
And it pushed me away the more he needed me and would follow me. Like, he told me that my college wasn't good enough for him because he was too smart. And then I was
fucking
like,
weird.
Yeah, it was rude.
Throat punch him in a second.
Yeah.
And then when I broke up with him, he was like, I decided I'm transferring to your school. And I was like, I do not come here.
Also yeah, creepy, exactly. Like, this is my territory. I've laid down my tracks.
I've already made friends.
Yeah. Get your own.
Stand that kid.
And then I will say when he, like, so, like, his anxious attachment style is showing up in that aspect where it's, like, pushing me away even more. And then as adults, I think that just knowing his circumstances with his family and himself, I'm sure he became, like, anxious avoidant. Mm-hmm.
And he looks like an uncooked loaf of sourdough bread.
That's the perfect way to describe him.
And it's only gotten worse.
It honestly has.
I haven't seen like, him as of late, but...
Oh, he has a reason to have a dad bod. That's so nice.
Should we take a shot to that?
He has a reason now.
That's why he
I'll a take
baby.
A shot.
Yeah, we need another shot.
We need a drink to that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now I'm just getting mean.
But I will say... Yeah, that was my bad. I got us on that. That was my all my bad. Like, I mean, guns blazing.
Came in swinging.
He did assault me, so, yeah, so I feel justified.
If I ever... I'm so happy he doesn't live here, because if I ever saw him... I would have some words for that man. Or not be cute.
I curse the day you were born.
Yeah. Hey. I curse thee. Yeah. Hey.
Get out of here.
I don't like you.
That was a Sex and the City reference.
Was it?
Yeah.
I need to rewatch Sex and the City.
Charlotte said in the movie, like, if I ever see Big again, I have my speech worked out. And her speech is, I curse the day. That's her entire speech.
I curse the day you were born.
But I think the silver lining here is that when I think you and I both probably found some secure man, right? Like my boyfriend is secure, your boyfriend's secure, and I think it has really calmed me down in the sense of being preoccupied. Like I don't overthink things. If he shortened a text message, I don't think it's my fault, right? Like mm-hmm, I think he's probably having a day. And that's okay. So, like, we'll connect later and, you know, talk through these things. And
dating a secure person can really do that for you.
Yeah.
I will say, I think that my boyfriend probably had, like, both, like, predominantly secure, but also maybe a little bit of avoidance. Yeah. And I can relate to him on that level of, like, being predominantly secure, but having some avoidance show up.
Mm.
And, like, you kind of panic. You're like, I can tell this person really likes me, and I don't really know where I'm at right now. And, like, you just freak out, and you're like, I like them, but that's scary because I can't control that, so I'm just going to run away.
Right.
And you're like, fuck, why'd I do that?
Yeah.
So, I, like, really can relate to him in that aspect, but, like, the more comfortable we get with each other, the easier it is to, like, tap into that security. Because I remember at the beginning, like, if he wouldn't text me for hours and hours, I'd be like, hey, I just need you to, like, text me back. Like,
so that's called a protest behavior. So one, so the things that, the two things in the book that they talk about with anxious and avoidance people is that anxious people will engage in, and again, you're not fully one of one thing, right? You have a mix of, so like, if you have an anxious kind of attachment style, like, one of the things you'll engage in is protest behaviors. And that looks like, you keep tallies. Like, they haven't texted me back in 30 minutes. I'm not going to text them back for an hour. Another thing is like, if they make a comment, I used to engage in, these were, like, my MO. Like
you didn't text
me
back for 35 minutes. I'm not going to text you back for 2 hours.
Right, yeah.
And meanwhile, they're, like, playing video
games. They don't even know.
They're
don't care. Yeah, they're like, care. Whoa. Another one is if they,
she
like...
She's probably at the grocery store.
If they say something that kind of, like, hurts your feelings, instead of being like, oh, that hurt my feelings, you would turn away, you would make a snotty comment back, like, you would just, like, kind of try to get even almost. Like, mm-hmm. I remember times, and I can't believe this was my vibe at one time, but, like, if someone's, like, if my boyfriend says something that hurt my feelings, instead of being like, oh, that hurt my feelings, I'd be like, yeah, well, you did blah, blah, blah. Like, I would just, like,
yeah,
I did
the same
jugular.
Thing.
Yeah, like, all
I
right,
did
well,
the same exact.
Yeah,
God, that's so interesting. I've never heard of.
And even
behavior.
As petty as, like, just turning my back to them, that is a protest behavior that they outline in the book. And it's like, I would literally turn my back to them physically when it's like, what is that accomplishing? Am I 5 years old where I need to, like, you know, turn my back to someone and just pout for a minute?
Did they say why people feel the need to do that?
They basically kind of go into, like, that is just your like, the end of the book talks about effective communication, and that's the key, and this is how you can kind of get there,
yeah.
Right? And I think it's just our ineffective way of communicating, right?
Yeah.
Like, we, instead
of... The biggest
of,
proponent in this, in you noticing this, is self-awareness.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, like, yeah, it fucking sucks to admit to yourself, like, wow, I would engage in this kind of like childish petty behavior as a way to get back at them for not actually communicating my needs and right. how something made me feel.
Because it's easier to do that sometimes mm-hmm. than it is to say, listen, shameful. I need this from you. Yeah.
It's less shameful to be like, hey, when you said this, it hurt my feelings. Yes. Because being vulnerable is the hardest thing you can do.
Right.
It is painful to be vulnerable. But once you are self-aware, now you have a level of power and knowledge that you didn't have before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can like go to your partner and be like, hey, I know you probably didn't mean it like this, but when you said that, it hurt my feelings.
And that's so scary because like, if you don't really know what style people communicate with, it's like that you could be shut down for being vulnerable with your feelings. And that's fucking sucks.
Yeah. Amen. I think you guys need to do that more. Like the
whole, amen. Amen. Oh, we should. Amen. I've been realizing like, as I've been dating, I've been like seeking out men with an avoidant attachment style because I don't want to get involved in anything. And I feel like Music Man is extremely secure, but is like showing avoidant tendencies keep a distance. And I think that that's why I'm so attracted to this relationship. Everybody else I've dated, save like Grapes was pretty, have you heard about Grapes?
Yeah.
He was pretty secure. Mm-hmm. But there's other stuff going on there. But like everybody else that I've dated has been remarkably anxious, and that's been what's turned me off from them.
Yeah.
But I've been seeking out an avoidant because it feels safer. Like right. if they're not like constantly like coming at me. Yeah. So it's just been like, it's interesting to hear you guys talk about like the secure attachment style and like when you find that you want to like hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Because like every time I meet anybody that's secure, I'm like, oh no. Well, it's boyfriend material.
When I did tell my boyfriend, like, oh, well, when you, like, don't text me back, like, it makes me sad.
Yeah.
He tried so hard, no matter what, he tried to text me back within, like, a certain time frame and, like, meet those needs for me. And then once we started to get more comfortable with each other, like, now I'm not like that at all. And neither is he. Like, yeah. If he doesn't text me back in a few hours, I'm like, oh, he's probably busy. Like, I'm not, like, thinking, like, oh, he's, you know, engaging in a protest behavior or something right. like uh-huh. that. I'm not overthinking it. And then if I don't text him back, he knows, like, I either fell asleep or, like right now, he knows I'm recording probably. Like,
yeah.
It's...
You're on airplane
it's
mode.
It's become a lot more lax. And I think that we, like, don't give each other enough grace in that. Like, when you first start dating someone, like, your brain is firing off. Like,
yeah.
All of this stuff, like all of this dopamine, and you're overwhelmed. I hated the beginning of our relationship because I was too excited. Mm. I was like, I'm exhausted. I just want
you were
to
wearing
take
me
that.
Out.
And we, it's like, oh, you're not doing anything, but like how I feel about you is overwhelming.
Yeah. Well, and so we have protest behaviors, and I think you're interested in people with the avoidant attachment style because they engage in detachment behaviors. Yeah. So like they're like, you know, the same side of a different coin.
Yeah,
different side,
that's
whatever,
exactly
whatever that saying is. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they do things that like you
different
know
different sides of the same coin.
Yeah, different side. Yeah. There we go. Nailed it.
We're smart. We know things.
We got this. So they basically do things that like kind of create distance between you and them.
Yeah.
So they will, you know, scroll on their phone after having sex or not text you back for a few hours or, you know, not do those type of behaviors that kind of detach themselves for you.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you like it because you kind of want your independence right now. You don't want to settle down, right?
Yeah.
But you can understand why an anxious and avoidant person get together. It's just like, you know,
right, it's the push and pull. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, it sucks because it's like, I've been looking for the anxious avoidant, and I think everybody that's listening that has been listening for a while knows like really involved with this Music Man situation because I can't fucking figure it out. And I think that that's a huge thing. Like I've been looking for the anxious attachment style, but I keep wanting more from it. And that's been an interesting kind of push and pull. And like hearing you talk about protest behaviors and understanding the different attachment styles having different protest behaviors, is it like a when you're doing the protest behavior, you swing to the other side?
No, so like anxious people, they engage in protest behaviors, and then avoidant people, they engage in detachment behaviors. Anxious and avoidant, they swing between the two, right?
Yeah.
But again, we're not all fully 100% one
right.
thing,
yeah.
right? So mm-hmm. I think you have been enjoying the avoidant behaviors because you're not really not, I don't think you're really ready to settle down, right?
Like, definitely not.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of actually puts you at ease being with someone who's avoidant because if they pull away, it's kind of okay, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But and like to your love bombing situation that you had, like mm-hmm. you were, that brought out your best anxious side of you, right? Yeah. Like you were so into it. You were so excited. Yes. You're like, this is great. I'm into you. You're into me. And then he pulled away.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was his avoidant side, just pulling away from you. And
yeah, because even though you weren't actually like fully emotionally invested, he's still triggering those like fear responses in you.
100%.
And I think that's one of the most important things to think of is like when your attachment style comes out, it's a fear-based response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not like, you know, anytime you're in a relationship, this is how you act.
Yeah.
It's more so like these things come into play because you're afraid.
Yes.
And ultimately, if you like dig into that, it's like, oh, what am I afraid of? Falling in love? And it's like, no, you're afraid of losing it.
Yeah.
You're afraid of like another relationship ending.
I can't. I've been saying this from the beginning. Even before I started really digging into the attachment style stuff, I've been saying like, I can't put myself in a position to get hurt again. Like that's been the whole thing. So I've been being involved with men that are super avoidant because it's like, if I know from the beginning they're not going to get involved and they're not going to invest anything in me, then like I can't get hurt.
Yeah.
And the comedian was a very anxious attachment style. Like he posted about this book recently, actually.
This one?
Yeah. Here's on his story.
Him.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm seeing it everywhere.
And he is remarkably anxious. And like that was comfortable for me because that's how my ex was toward the end of our relationship, was like really just like showering me with attention. Like if I didn't text back in like an hour and be like, hello. And it's uncomfortable to get that, but at the same time, it's very comfy. So then I get involved with somebody like Music Man that like won't text me back for like 48 hours. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, right?
Even though it's something that I'm seeking out, but it's like understanding that it's just like ingrained in a person's being and it's not really much about you as an individual.
Well, and then if you analyze your earliest relationships, like when I think about my relationships with my parents, like I love my parents. Mm-hmm. And I want to say like when you analyze your relationships with your parents, no one is saying your parent is a bad parent.
Right.
And it's hard to do that because you're like, I love my parents and I think they did a lot for me.
Yeah.
And you can think that, but you can also be like, recognize their faults and be upset about it and still love them. All Absolutely. Of those can coexist.
Yes.
So I'm saying that with that background of like, I don't think my parents were fully like prepared to have a kid when they had me because I'm the oldest, so like, you know, they're younger than I am now when they had me.
Yeah, my mom had all three kids by my age, and I'm like,
Jesus Christ,
like I gotta go. I can barely keep my plants alive. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you're like, I have fake plants, you guys, fake plants, and I can't keep them alive.
I think like they got to a point where they were like, oh, I don't think I'm like, this is harder than I thought it was gonna be, and I'm not really
this is
fully
actually hard
prepared.
Shit like raising
yeah,
a kid.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. So
who would have thought?
I just kind of had to like self-soothe and learn to depend on myself and not express my feelings because my feelings are a burden to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where my avoidant attachment comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Is I had to be independent.
Well, speaking of babies, so they did a study, and this is in the book as well. So basically they had like three different children. They each had the different attachment styles, right? Like anxious, avoidant, and secure. And then their mom would walk, they're in separate rooms. Their mom would walk in the room and then they'd walk out. All three babies would be distressed, right? They'd be sad that their mom was gone. The secure person, when the mom walked in, they were like, oh, I'm not distressed anymore. I'm happy to see you. The heart rate returned to normal type thing. The anxious person, when they walked in, their heart rate did not return. They were still kind of upset with their mom, like, how dare you leave me? The avoidant person, they appeared to be, like, normal, but their heart rate was still elevated. So they were still annoyed with their mom for leaving, but, like, they still were upset about it, right? Like, they're upset about it, but they appeared normal. So, like,
mm-hmm.
it kind of goes back to when you're that little and your mom literally walking away.
Yeah,
you
before
know.
You can talk is right. when, like, these attachment styles are formed. Mm-hmm. So, like, predominantly secure makes sense to me because I would say, but also my parents, like thinking about how they probably weren't ready to have a kid and like not wanting to have that responsibility, but having to have it. That makes a lot of sense where like my level of independence comes from.
Yeah.
And I also like talking about attachment too, like it's easy to be like, oh, I feel ashamed of this. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. Your attachment style is nothing to be ashamed of.
Yeah. It just kind of happens. And you have to learn to navigate it.
Think of it as a superpower. Like once you're aware of it, you are now in control of how you handle it.
Yeah.
It's no one's responsibility to meet your needs, but mm-hmm. it's your responsibility to like how you respond to it.
Yes.
So like communication is just
amen.
It's easier said than done. Like I can barely talk to my boyfriend about the smallest thing. But when you are open about kind of like these uncomfortable conversations, then you both feel comfortable talking about it in the future and it becomes an easier thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To just be like, hey, I'm aware of this about myself and I need this from you right now.
Mm-hmm. And silver lining. Okay. So if you can, your attachment style can change. So if you date mm-hmm. someone who is secure for about 4 years, it takes about 4 years for your attachment style to change. So if you're in a relationship with someone for 4 years, your attachment style will kind of mimic theirs. So if you find a secure man or woman or whatever, you date them for 4 years, that ends up being your life partner. Like, this could all become irrelevant. You'll just be secure and you'll be like, hey,
I'm a secure bitch.
I'm a secure bitch.
This is so interesting. So I was listening to a podcast about attachment stuff, and it's called Project Love. I was listening to Project Love podcast, but your pet can help you change your attachment style.
I saw that too. Like you just can?
Yeah.
Because
our
pets give us unconditional love, if you think about it.
Yeah, they are secure.
You have an opportunity to practice a different attachment style, whether that's secure or avoidant or anxious or whatever. Like, and the study is really interesting. So like people who are predominantly avoidant with their pets, they'll show more anxious attachment. They're going to be like, there's something wrong with them. And when I think about it, I'm like, I'm constantly like, if I'm petting my cat and I'm like, oh, I love him so much. He's such a good cat. And then I look at him and then I'm like, why are his eyes watering? Something must be wrong. He must be dying. I must be dying. Uh-huh, yeah. It just spirals out of control. And I'm like, someone's sick. Something's wrong. It can't be. There's something wrong.
Amelia's full of anxious with Ruffin. Like, if he doesn't look at her for, like, 2 seconds, she's like, what's wrong? He doesn't like me anymore.
No, I will fully spiral if something's wrong with Ruffin.
Something's wrong. Like, if he doesn't even, like, acknowledge you for a second.
He's
like,
such a sassy little bitch, that dog. But that's, you know, it's why we work. You see, that's the anxious mm-hmm. and avoidant style. He's an avoidant dog.
Yeah.
That's why
we work. Like, I can't deal with you. I need space.
He's like, I need space. No, for sure.
Well, I know when you and I were talking early on, anxious and anxious attachment styles do well together.
Yeah, they build up on each other, right? They can mm-hmm. give each other what they need. They can, you know, they understand they both can become, need a lot.
You can become a healthy, dependent relationship. Yes. Like, there's a big difference between, like, healthy dependence and codependence.
Right.
And you can become healthily dependent in your relationship, and it's like interdependence and not so much codependence.
Yeah, right. Like, that's a good way to put it. And then I think, you know, anxious and secure, avoidant and secure.
Avoidant and avoidant just doesn't work.
Yeah, avoidant and avoidant, they just don't have the glue to keep each other together.
Yeah.
They just don't have enough there. And then, like, anxious, avoidant, just stay away from each other. Do us all a favor. You know, like, just do yourself a favor at this point. Just
it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, like, anxious and avoidant relationships.
Yeah. It literally changed my whole dating life, right? Like, I just would date someone and be like, no.
I would say your boyfriend is, like, the epitome of secure.
Oh, he's so great. Yeah. He does have he has a few avoidant tendencies, right? But he also has some anxious one. But he is so great, and I'm, like, so happy to have met him, right?
Yeah.
We went to college together, and we met.
I was reading that's, like, one of the best things for anxious attachment is when you find someone who, like, is you started out as friends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you can build that kind of bond without the pressure of being like, is this the person for me?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Am I going to spend forever with them? You're not having all that, like, internal chaos.
Yeah.
Because you can have, like, some kind of, you know, dynamic outside of a immediate romantic relationship.
Totally,
so,
yeah.
You get all the even if you weren't friends, like close friends or anything beforehand, you still were able to get to know each other in like a college setting where everything's kind of like laid back.
And everyone, we're like,
there's not
shots.
A lot of pressure. Yeah. And then like meet casually. And I remember when you told me, like, you guys made out, and you were like, it's so random.
Yeah.
Like, I was not expecting
I think I went to dinner with you and a couple of my girlfriends the next day. Remember we took
yeah,
that?
Yeah. Because you had some friends over, and then, like, you invited me to get pizza with you guys the next day.
Yeah, and we talked about it, and, like, three of my girlfriends are dating three of his guy friends, so it just kind of worked.
I love that.
Yeah, and, but,
like, well, and then they started kind of dating them.
At some of them were at
around
somewhere.
The same
time. One of my friends was at the same time. Like one of them.
No one had predicted it.
It's but really it was just funny. Like so funny. And then Liz was there for just it. And I was like, it's so random, but I was like, he's like kind of cute, like you know, like yeah. So Liz was there. We got pizza that night.
Madison put her foot down too. She was like,
get out.
I'm not gonna hook up with you unless you're gonna
ask me out.
Girl. Oh, I need some of that.
I have standards and boundaries.
Yes, we love standards and boundaries in this household.
Let's put that on a shirt. Standards and boundaries.
Standards and boundaries.
Well, and Madison is also the one who encouraged me, like gave me the idea to not date for at least 6 months.
Life changing.
Because she did it. And then
I met my boyfriend after 5.5 months. So I almost made it. But
yeah. And just when you give yourself, you're like, you get to a point where you're like, oh, God, I'm fucking over this stuff. And I like myself and I want to spend more time with myself.
And almost for me, it was almost the opposite. Like, I'm not really enjoying the person that I am, and I don't want to focus my energy on other finding a mate, right? Like, I want to get to a place where I'm like very happy with myself, it wasn't super negative, right? Like, I didn't hate myself, but I was like, oh, I don't like this about myself. Like, what can I do to fix that? And if I was dating someone, I'd be too preoccupied with what's going on with them to focus on myself.
Right. Do you feel like you would hyper focus on your looks? That's what I would do. I would hyper-focus on how I looked, and I'd be like, I need to fix this with my arms, and, like, I hate my nose, and, like,
things. So, you know, that never, like...
I know it shows up differently for
it
everyone.
Shows up differently. That never really, like, happened for me. Like, I've always been, like, pretty, like, accepting myself in those ways and also kind of confident, right? Like, I've just think that's, like, you know, not where I focus my energy. It was more so on, like, my relationship with people and feeling like, am I too much? Like, you know, that was a big thing for me, like being too much. Cause I'm like super extra and I can acknowledge that. So it kind of showed up with me and being self-conscious, interacting with people. Like, do I say this? Do I not say this? Is this too much? You know, like those type of things.
Your like extra behavior always seems so self-aware to me though.
It is now, like, but this was before, like, I feel like I met you.
Okay.
That makes sense. Interesting. Yeah. Where you're like, oh, am I too much? And then, like, I loved that, like, the more I got to know you, there's just, like, I don't know, you're so caring and thoughtful.
Thank you.
Well, that's so sweet.
Yeah, you are. But also you're not, it's not like you're particular about who you care about. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, if you're having a good time, you want everyone in your immediate vicinity to be having a good time, too. You're not going to be exclusionary about
hence
it.
Hence the shots.
Yeah, Tito's all around.
No, You just, like, I'm into astrology, and Madison is a Cancer. And that's just, like, Cancer behavior.
Like a mom.
Just, like, right. Yeah, but, like, a fun mom.
Yeah. Like, I'm a cool mom.
She's like... everyone's taking a shot. Yeah. You need a shot.
Does anybody need a condom?
And I think I'm the oldest one here, so I'm like, what's the 411? What's going on TikTok? What are you guys listening to?
Exactly.
Oh my God.
What's the tea? What's going on in everyone's life? Take a shot.
Y'all, these guys are so young, they don't watch The Real Housewives. So.
Madison, you are like 3 months old.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. You guys are super close in age.
Yeah. All right, let's marry, fuck, kill this bitch.
Got it.
Well, this better be a good one.
Amelia planned it, so okay. I don't know.
Yeah, Liz actually doesn't know what I'm asking about. No. I hope it's good. All right. There's three different rounds.
Okay.
Mary, fuck, kill. Kelly, Michelle, Beyonce.
Ooh. Well, we're killing Michelle. We are marrying Beyonce, and Kelly looks like she could maybe
get it.
Get it. Yeah, she could get it.
Interesting. Kelly's pretty hot.
Yeah. Remember her motivation video where she had like two rubber bands that were like vibrating on either side? Yeah.
I don't know. Beautiful. I was very sheltered.
As 10 out of 10. Would recommend.
What about you, Liz?
I think I echo Madison's sentiments because Jay-Z does not deserve Beyonce.
No.
Fuck no.
No.
Even and before he cheated.
Yeah, even exactly. before. Exactly. And my gay best friend and his now fiance, their biggest argument they ever had was that he thought that Michelle was not the most underrated Destiny's Child. And my gay best friend was like, no, she is the worst Destiny's Child. Like, it was a whole thing. That was their first epic fight. Like, they literally got in a fight.
So he thought that Michelle was the... So he thought Kelly was the
most... No, so my gay best friend's fiance thought that Michelle was, like, actually had a career. And my gay best friend was like, no, she didn't have a career. She sucked. And it was, like, an actual argument there.
Can anybody say what a Michelle song is post-Destiny's Child?
I don't know anything about Destiny's Child. It's like,
when Jesus says yes, who can say no?
That was Michelle?
And then, but okay, here's the thing. It was Michelle, but she featured Beyonce and Kelly in the song.
Well, my answer is I would probably fuck Beyonce.
Oh.
Yeah.
You want to marry her? Look how rich she is.
No, who would you marry? Wouldn't. I would probably marry Kelly.
Okay, so Michelle's dying all around.
Yeah. I mean, bless you, Michelle. You know what? Maybe, honestly, it depends on what point in my life I'm in.
She can
yeah.
die and go to heaven. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next one. We're going to talk about the Johns. John Stamos, John Krasinski, John Hamm.
I was hoping John Cena was one of them.
Yeah.
John right. Cena! Da-na-na-na-na.
Wait, which one is John Krasinski?
From The Office.
Jim.
Oh, he's gonna go.
Oh, what?
She doesn't. I don't like The Office.
She doesn't watch
it. I don't either. But like,
don't kill me. So I'd say he's gone. I would say we got Stamos
and Hamm.
Ooh,
those are good Johns.
Those are good Johns.
This is a good group of Johns.
I know.
I would say maybe fuck Stamos and marry Hamm. But Hamm kind of seems like a dick. But he I kind of like it.
Stamos is like
Uncle Jesse.
Stamos is probably more of a fuckboy than John Hamm in my opinion.
Apparently John Hamm is miserable to be
really?
Around. Yeah, he has like a reputation.
That okay, sucks. So then we'll marry Stamos mm-hmm. and fuck John Hamm. Because I also have seen in pictures that is well his, endowed.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Well, not like nudie pictures, but like the paparazzi always call it out that his like, you can see his pecker.
Ooh.
What would you say, Amelia?
I would fuck John Hamm. I would hate fuck John Hamm.
Oh,
and it would
hate
be great.
Fuck him.
I would marry John Krasinski because I just love him so much. And if anybody's good enough for Emily Blunt.
Oh, that one. He actually is cute.
He's phenomenal.
Okay, sorry.
Ooh, John Krasinski with a beard. Ugh. And then just by process of elimination, I'd have to kill Stamos. But, like, I don't want to. It would
probably
it would
short,
me.
Though. Probably short. So I might agree with you on all
That's
this.
That's fair.
I would for sure kill John Hamm.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck John Stamos.
John Stamos would be a good fuck.
And then marry John Krasinski.
Okay.
Emily, but only oh, not, I didn't know it was that
only
one.
Only not as Jim.
She's phenomenal, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you change your answer then?
Yeah.
Who would you kill between Stamos and Hamm? Probably Hamm.
Probably Hamm.
Even though he's well endowed.
Even though he's like...
That's not end all be all.
Yeah, it might be for that. Fucking. I know. Motion of the ocean, not the size of the boat.
Yeah, I think I agree with Liz.
I can get...
You guys have the same answer?
I can get some good dick, but like if the vibe isn't there, like emotionally, it's not good to
Sometimes
me.
I need some emotionless sex. And if the guy...
I've
feel
never
like
been
I'll
able to
him.
Have that. I'm so jealous. I wish I could have...
I'm jealous that you haven't been able to... Honestly, I've had a bit of emotionless sex.
I would love if it was just a little exchange.
Amelia's like my specialty.
It's like a little PayPal situation.
A little transaction.
It is transactional.
Pay penis.
Penis
pal. Okay, I always love your ponies, buddy. But it's not really working.
The Chris's. Pratt. Pine. Hemsworth.
Chris Pratt, Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth.
I kind of want to throw, what's Chris, Captain America?
Isn't that Chris Pratt?
No.
No, that's Chris Pine.
I thought that was
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans.
I'm going to replace Pratt with Evans. Chris Evans, Chris
oh,
Pine,
you made
Chris
it hard.
Hemsworth.
Yeah, which one's Pine?
No,
it's
going to be
Pine.
Chris
is the, his eyes, I'll show you Chris Pine, hold on.
I think I know who he
Chris
is.
Chris Pine.
Chris?
He is in Amelia type in a way.
Oh, yeah, okay. So
yeah, he's in Star Trek. He's in Star Trek.
Chris Pine, who else?
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans.
Okay. I would say probably kill Chris Pine.
Okay.
Hemsworth, 100% marrying. Like, would love to look at that every day.
Yeah, that accent too.
And then Evans, yeah, we'll fuck him. Captain America.
Okay. I feel like that's a good answer.
I am marrying the fuck out of Chris Evans.
Me too. Chris Jamal Evans.
I am what an marrying ally. Chris Evans. I'm going to kill Chris Hemsworth.
What?
I don't know. Yikes. I just don't really care.
Okay.
And then...
I just don't really care. I wouldn't even flinch.
He's just like, I'm Thor. What else? And
Australian.
Yeah. He doesn't have to work that hard, so he doesn't have to offer much more.
And then, wait, who's the other one?
Pine.
Chris Pine. I'm gonna fuck Chris Pine.
Really? Interesting.
And okay. I'm gonna do it for my mom because she loves Chris
Pine. Ah, this one goes out for you, mom. Okay, mine would be I would marry the fuck out of Chris Evans in a fucking heartbeat. I would fuck Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
Hard. And I would probably kill Chris Pine. I don't want to kill Chris Pine.
Yeah, I don't want to kill Chris Pine.
No one wants.
I mean, he's phenom. Like, look at that. Look at that face. Ooh, he has a salt and pepper beard right now.
I don't know. I think he's so cute.
Oh, yeah. He gets better. He ages well.
Yeah,
he's a fine very line. Pretty. And I like that.
What a handsome man.
Even though, you know,
and you guys I do
have
marry
I have a pretty boy thing.
Chris Evans?
But I also have a manly
Captain
man,
America.
Yeah, he plays piano.
Oh, he, in fact.
And then
he doesn't take much for Amelia.
And he looks at the camera when he plays piano. Oh, I'll send you this TikTok. You're going to be sold.
I love TikTok.
He used to date Jenny Slate.
I know.
What's that?
I think that's like the major selling point for me.
I'll show you Jenny Slate. You'll recognize her.
You will recognize Jenny Slate.
She was also Marcel the Shell, fun fact.
I know.
This is Jenny Slate.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, let's wrap.
Yeah. Should I lead us out in prayer?
Please do.
Father God, please ensure that Amelia's fake freckles wash off tonight and help us all sleep well.
Please pray for my fake freckles. Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to us on Spotify.
And
listen to us on SoundCloud.
DM us. Eventually we'll get back
this
to you.
This is all falling apart. We'll have a script for our lead out.
Yeah. We'll figure this out.
Maybe we'll just have Madison on every week to lead us out in prayer.
Yeah.
Love you so much.
My mom's literally going to hate me. She's like, you led that type of prayer.
Okay, we love you.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.